This conference is being recorded.
Hello, everyone. This is Eric Talmont here on behalf of Mike Westerdahl's CriticalBench.com. I'm very fortunate to have the privilege of interviewing Marty Gallagher today. Marty is a three-time World Master Powerlifting Champion, Teenage National Olympic Lift Champion, and coached at Black's Gym, and he coached them to four national team titles. And in 1991, coached the United States squad to victory at the World Powerlifting Championships. Most notably, Marty's high-acclaimed 230-plus weekly live online columns for the WashingtonPost.com has created a legion of followers for his purposefully primitive fitness philosophy. Welcome, Marty.
Hello, Eric.
So, I was at Mike Westerdahl's house. This was a couple weeks ago, and we had just finished a metabolic typing session, and Mike had your book, The Purposeful Primitive, on his desk, and we began to talk cardio and what really makes an individual a champion, how to break through barriers, that type of thing, and Mike drew my attention to your book. And others, I've talked to Bob Gaynor about your book and Spiro, and it comes highly recommended. But the interesting, what Mike and I really honed in on, were how you talked about the three different types of cardio in your book, and then you led that a step further to the formation of what we may be able to call like a new muscle fiber, or one that most folks aren't necessarily aware of. So if you could walk us through it, in terms of your book, could you explain to us, just in broad terms, what are the three types of cardio, and how do you go about doing each type?
Well, Eric, I think I'm going to maybe walk you into it from a slightly different direction and kind of tell you my own experiences. The first type is, of course, steady state, which is just cardiovascular sameness. I mean, basically, you're trying to achieve a certain level of energy output and cardio activity, regardless of the mode, and kind of tool along at an even pace. The hallmark of steady-state cardio is the athlete's trying to stay as relaxed as possible to burn as little energy as possible. Of course, when you shift to interval cardio, which, and I call steady-state first way, second way is burst or interval cardio, and that's when there's an element of muscular exertion is inserted into the relaxed cardio mode. And as the name implies, in burst, you burst as hard as you can in whatever cardio activity you're engaged in. Then you you stop. You allow your energy pools to reconstitute themselves, and then you can burst again. So you with me so far, Eric?
I am. And for everyone out there, though, let's give tangible examples of each. So, in terms of steady-state cardio, are we talking about jogging on a treadmill and not getting our heart rate up?
A Kenyan long-distance runner, a marathon runner, a swimmer, a long-distance swimmer. Someone who, you can get on the treadmill and you can go at a steady, even pace, and you're seeking the best combination of duration with intensity, but you're trying to maintain a purposely relaxed musculature. That's critical.
Okay. And then in terms of the interval, what comes to my mind would be sprint intervals.
Sure.
Say sprinting a 220, jogging a 220, sprinting another 220. Is that kind of what you mean?
Sure. And that can even be broken down into 40s or 20-yard dashes. Any type. You can leap. You can bound. You can play racquetball. I mean, these are types of burst cardio, playground basketball, anything toward intense. What happens is different energy pathways are utilized, and there's an element of muscular exertion combined with cardiovascular activity.
All right, so then we come to the third one, and that's the one that I want to focus on because I think it's going to be new to many in this audience, and that's hybrid cardio.
Right. Hybrid was first pointed out to me by Dr. Len Schwartz back in the 80s, and Len was the originator and the inventor of heavy hands. Len was a medical doctor, a psychiatrist, and a sports performance doctor. He worked at a University of Pittsburgh laboratories, and Len had been analyzing all-time VO2 maxes generated by champion athletes, and what he was noticing it was this oddity. He thought that the marathoners would trump everyone, but in terms of VO2 uptake, it was the cross-country skiers. And the reason was because that they used their arms in the propulsion. It wasn't just leg-only cardio, okay? So that got Len thinking, and he created a whole system based upon the use of dumbbells flung about in sustained aerobic patterns, and he called this long strength, whereas, let's say, a power lifter, a weightlifter, he would term that short strength. So that started me off thinking. I ran into another guy named Ori Hofmeckler, who you guys, Ori is generally thought of as a nutritional genius, but Ori talked about the ancient, he did a lot of studies about ancient Roman warriors, and they carried 60 pounds of weaponry and shield, and they weighed, as far as we were able to determine, 130 to 140 pounds. So these guys were doing field maneuvers, carrying roughly 40 to 50% of their body weight. He also pointed out that the long-distance rowers that rowed the ancient giant boats, the records that they set 500, 800, 1,000, 2,000 years ago still stand to this day. The type of physique that it would take to carry that armor all day long, the type of physique that it would is necessary to row a boat with that sustained amount of effort is called hybrid super muscle, and it actually you can transform muscular composition with the right type of exercise.
Okay, so what we're getting at here is hybrid cardio. It's a type of training that is kind of a marriage between the previous two that we discussed, in that it has to be sustained, but at the same time it has to be intense.
Yeah. It's sort of a combination of both. Interval. Interval is close, but with the hybrid, in order to develop the hybrid super muscle, the guys that I look to for advice, and there's another fellow I want to bring in. It's Mark Coleman, Mark the Hammer Coleman. I don't know if any of your
The fighter
listeners
sure,
yeah, follow the UFC. But Mark and I've been interviewing Mark for the past 15 years throughout his career, and he was one of the ones that highlighted it to me that about the hybrid super muscle when he said that the early UFC fighters were having terrible problems gassing out. And he said, Marty, he said, we can't figure it out. He said, we can stationary bike all day long. Some of us can run 26-mile marathons, and yet we're getting gassed out within 3 minutes of a mixed martial arts fight. And what it was is that they were wreaking havoc on their blood sugars because the type of exertion that they were forced to generate was not anything like their training.
So let's, before we get into the science, because I do want to touch on the science of what exactly is happening when we engage in this hybrid cardio in terms of muscle fiber, but before we get there, and you've already kind of touched on it a bit with Mark Coleman and the UFC fighters, but so what individuals would, what kind of athletes would really be interested in, you know, partaking and weaving in hybrid cardio into their training system? And then are there any athletes that would want to avoid this type of hybrid cardio for whatever reason?
I can't think of any athlete, and that's the operative phrase, athlete, who would want to avoid the hybrid super muscle. It's an ability to go not only hard but sustained. Now, I think that the UFC fighters are probably the closest ones who are looking to replicate. The hybrid super muscle is the product. The way in which you train to get the hybrid super muscle is the exercise mode. The UFC fighters are using the mode because they want sustained strength for either 2 or 3 5-minute rounds, okay? As a result, they're getting hybrid super muscle. The people that I've talked to, people like Len Schwartz, Uri Hoffmeckler, Perillo to a lesser degree, these people are interested in building muscle with additional mitochondria, and these attributes are sort of a plus to them. They're looking to build a more efficient muscle through these unique training modes. Is that too convoluted?
No, well, let's stick right there before we go to, before we proceed on to whatever, you know, specific types of, well, I won't say athletes, but other types of sports that may not want to engage in hybrid cardio. Before we go there, you mentioned mitochondria, the cellular power plants. Why is, if you could explain for the readers, and, you know, in simplistic terms, if you could, why is it important? Why would someone care to try to get more mitochondria into a muscle cell?
More is better. More is, these are energy blast furnaces. The more blast furnaces you have lodged within a particular muscle, the more efficient that muscle is at every aspect of its muscular existence. It's better at intaking nutrients. It's better at expelling waste products. It's better at every definable characteristic of a muscle, every favorable characteristic is enhanced with additional muscle mitochondria. A paucity of muscle mitochondria is usually found in clinically obese people. Okay, tons of muscle mitochondria are found in elite athletes, but they're confined to the muscles that the athlete uses within their chosen sport.
So if we're creating more mitochondria in the muscle cell, not only are we able to
in the muscle,
perhaps more...
In the muscle. You're creating
muscle,
more mitochondria within the muscle.
So when we do that, not only are we able to more efficiently perhaps use the food that we eat, we also are going to be able to output more energy.
Oh, yeah.
Is that
better
correct?
Endurance. Yeah. Better endurance, but also the type of endurance is not easily fatigued when the element of muscular fatigue is introduced.
And
you have let's say you've got a Kenyan long distance runner who can run 10 miles without, and he just glides. You know, you've seen these guys, and they go by and they don't, their footfalls are effortless. But you put a 25 pound pack on that guy's back, and all of a sudden he's thrown out of his element. Okay. Mm-hmm. Additionally, the solution that Coleman and these guys found is that if they trained using resistance in a cardio fashion, that their capacity grew exponentially and exponentially quick. As you and I were talking before the show, you being having gone through Bud's training, you know the type of training that we're talking about. Things like carrying a log for distance, holding your boat overhead while you're running along. This is, I'm not suggesting that, you know, the normal person go out and do this, but that is the type of sustained exertion that is needed if you're holding a log overhead or a boat overhead. Well, that's shoulder and arms right there.
Mm-hmm. So
bring,
you know,
back fond memories, Eric.
Well, yes, it does, Marty. Grueling memories, actually.
I bet you were in the shape of your life, though, weren't you?
Yeah, and it was a very, I think it was a different shape that I was in.
A different shape.
When I was at Buzz.
Now, imagine if you had that degree of condition that you had back then and combined it with the absolute strength that you now possess now. See, yeah, now you're talking about the super athlete, the athlete that has not only the hybrid muscle, but also has that incredible power lifter absolute strength. Now you put that together and you've got a formidable athletic package. The mixed martial arts guys, they're missing the boat a little bit because they're neglecting the absolute strength. They're going for the sustained strength, but I have had many conversations with Mark Coleman about this, and it's like they now are training in such a way that they're able, their energy output, they can go and go and go and go and go. But I think that super strength needed to perform a, you know, like Rampage Jackson exhibits when he, you know, slams somebody from overhead. Most of those guys are missing that element. If they had that element to complement their hybrid super muscle, then they'd have it all.
So to sum up, you know, the more mitochondria there are in the muscle cells or in the muscle, the greater the energy capacity, which can fuel strength and endurance.
Everything.
And and Mark Coleman and other UFC fighters can attest to this because, as you mentioned earlier, they could ride the bike all day long or be able to run a marathon, but once they started to incorporate this hybrid cardio into their training regimens, they found that they were not able, or they weren't as winded at the end of the...
But the problem was is that when they got into a grappling, punching, kicking, tugging match with an opponent, all of a sudden their energy storage capacities were drained. Let me just give you a very, very quick analogy, Eric, and I think it'll tie it together. I watched this British import show, Top Gear, and on it they had the guy was doing a 600-mile race, and he had a brand-new Mercedes 770 XK that could do 220 miles an hour. He took it on the Autobahn. The race was 600 miles. He said, the problem is, if I run this vehicle 200 miles an hour, which I can, I will have to gas up every 23 minutes. He would burn through 20 gallons in 23 minutes going at 200 miles an hour. Now, that's like a UFC fighter when the referee says fight. They have a finite capacity in their athletic gas tank, and if they burn it out, they burn through it quickly, you know, at a 200 mile per hour analogous rate, then they're in a hell of a lot of trouble at the end of 3 minutes when they've completely expended. And there's no gas stations in a UFC fight. You follow me?
Right. I do.
So how do they deal with that? What do? Do they get a bigger gas tank? Do they train their body to use the gas at a slower rate while having the same athletic output? That was the problem, the dilemma that Coleman and those boys were faced with. Now, the way that they solved it was in their training. They did a lot more grappling, push, pull, tug from weird angles. They also started doing things like flipping tires, throwing medicine balls, you know, sledgehammers on, you know, bounced off tires, wheelbarrows loaded with plates, pushing them up a hill, dragging things, kettlebells, all kinds of odd implements lifted, repetition clean and jerks, you know, for like 50 or 100 reps, you know, things like that. Excruciating, right? But
quasi-strongman training.
Very much so. Have you noticed how the physiques on the strongman have morphed over the years as they've made these stupid events longer and longer for the TV? The world's strongest man should be, you pick up a object once. But television has perverted the world's strongest man. They have told the promoters, we need longer events for TV effectiveness. That's why they drag chains, then pick things up and run upstairs and you know, do these extended strongman feats, is because they need to stretch it out for the benefit of the TV, right? But what's happened is they have developed muscle mitochondria because of these extended events, and these strong guys today, like like the Polish dude Marius, although I think he's probably a little bit chemically aided. These guys are lean as bodybuilders nowadays.
Yeah, that's. I was going to mention that Marius Pudzianowski is probably the poster boy for hybrid cardio, if there ever was one.
And pharmaceuticals.
The guy's extremely. Well, you know, I can't speak to that. You know,
I'm sure that's probably the case. You can bet the farm on it, brother.
But well, but I'm just gonna look at him, and I'm gonna look at his performance, and there's no doubt that, you know, his ability to sustain strength over time is phenomenal. And not only that, but the amount of muscle mass he can carry with such a low amount of body fat and still be so functional is really, it's amazing.
That he's a great example of that type of training. He's forced to do these extended exertion events. I mean, you know, he's got to go sometimes, 2 minutes putting out maximum output, right? Carrying 440 pounds of this, dragging 800 pounds of that, picking up, you know, 400 pounds of this. And how do you train for that? You train for that by doing that. How does a UFC fighter train not to get gassed? He fights. Coleman would do things like he'd have five fresh opponents that would jump in on him every minute. Every minute he would grapple, and every minute a new fresh opponent would rotate in.
So we're going to segue towards the muscle fibers, what is actually happening. But before I go there, the one last point I'd like to touch on with the hybrid cardio is you mentioned in your book, The Purposeful Primitive, which I recommend everybody pick up. I haven't finished it myself, but I've read excerpts from it. And I'm, you know, it just everyone that I trust in the strength training world has recommended it highly. You mentioned that there are some downsides to this type of hybrid cardio training, and you particularly make reference to trying to do it along with absolute strength.
There's a definite conflict there. I think that if you're setting up a training regimen, you can't do a maybe there are physically capable guys out there who can do it, but it seems in my experience that having an intense extended hybrid cardio session in the morning cuts into my performance capacity if I'm doing absolute strength that afternoon.
And for everyone out there who's listening, could you put us all on the same page by what you mean when you and what strength coaches and what the strength field means by absolute strength?
Yeah, that would be your classical weight training, your powerlifting, your bodybuilding. You know, the high examples of the art in the lifting and bodybuilding world. That's absolute strength. You're training with weights. You're using them in classical, you know, fashion where you're doing certain key compound multi-joint exercises, backing it up with some isolation movements, staying in the standard, you know, 5 to 6 reps per exercise, 5 to 6 sets per exercise, anywhere from, 1 to 20 reps per set. That's classical. That's training for absolute strength. Sustained strength is doing, you know, things like wearing a weighted backpack while you take a run, a hike, a jog. I do mountain. I run the mountain trails in my neighborhood, and I'll wear ankle. Right now, I'm wearing 10-pound ankle weights and a couple more pounds around each wrist. Sometimes I'll put a backpack on with that. You know, any back in your military days, what was your full pack outfit weigh? 60 pounds?
Well, in BUDS, you don't carry a ruck.
No, I know, but when you finally got into in field, I mean, what?
Well, I
I actually didn't graduate from BUDS. I was injured and...
Okay. Well, all right. Well, if you're in the military, if you're a soldier and you're completely packed out for combat, I mean, you could be carrying what, 60, 70 pounds?
Yeah, there are friends of mine that I know firsthand. They went in Afghanistan and they would have even in excess of 100 pounds of gear on their person.
Right, carrying that up and down those ridges and those hills and those mountains and that you know, again, that's an element of exertion. The interval stuff, that's easy. That's you know, sprint as fast as you can in the pool or or on the ground or do that in shorter bursts. That's like stuff up to a minute, I would think. The sustained strength stuff, you're looking for longer. A lot of these kettlebell guys are making good use of sustained strength. It's a good sustained strength mode. I think that there's some real benefit to using kettlebells for building a hybrid third weight cardio. One thing I want to caution your listeners is just because you build hybrid cardio, let's say in your legs because you're carrying a heavy pack, doesn't mean you're going to build additional muscle mitochondria in your arms or in your any of them. Mitochondria is built in direct relationship to the use of the muscle. Okay? If you're carrying heavy weights in your back, which is leg-centric, that's not going to put additional muscle mitochondria in your arms. On the other hand, if you're waving heavy hands around for consistent protracted period of time, that's going to put mitochondria in your arms. It's not going to do anything for your legs. You follow?
I do.
Okay.
So in your experience, it was a very tough thing to reconcile hybrid cardio with, as you discussed earlier, training for absolute strength.
Right. You can integrate it by if you're in really fit shape by taking off that day. If you have an absolute training session that day, well, just don't do your hybrid cardio in the morning. I guess, you know, sometimes I'll take off the day before and that day.
Eventually what in your personal experience as well as working with other individuals, what kind of template would you recommend for somebody who wants to try to, you know, keep training for absolute strength as well as, try out the hybrid cardio? You know, what kind of tempo would you recommend?
Well, first, any strength athlete should do cardio. Cardio will make you a better strength athlete. Okay, you'll possess a lower body fat percentile. Your machine will be much more efficient. Your cardiovascular, cardiopulmonary system will be improved. I mean, a big guy, a 200-plus pound guy, he can get a good cardio workout by walking briskly, particularly if there's some hills around. So it's important that you use cardio. It also keeps the metabolism elevated, keeps the appetite kicking. If you're a strength athlete and you just sit around, the only thing you do is lift weights and eat pizza and drink beer, you're going to be in a world of hurt at some point. It's important that if you are a strength athlete, then act like an athlete and include some cardio. Now, if you decide that you're going to do cardio, basically all cardio falls in one of three categories. Steady state, we know what that is. That would be like walking on a flat piece of ground for whatever the duration of your exercise session is. Burst or interval, that could be, 20-yard sprints in each direction. That's a very, very simple version of burst cardio, and sustained or the hybrid cardio. That could be doing circuit weight training for 30 minutes. It could be, who knows, a kettlebell or medicine ball session or, a sledgehammer session, clubbells, all kinds of different ways to include the muscular effort in sustained cardio. In a hybrid cardio session, you kind of want to get moving in some sort of an even rhythmic pattern and then add some sort of muscular effort to it. Like those guys who used to pound the railroad spikes with a sledgehammer, Now, that was some hybrid cardio. You know what I'm talking about? Back in the days that they laid railroad by hand. They drove spikes with a guy would have a sledgehammer and he would drive each railroad spike in. They'd do that for 8-10 hours a day. Can you imagine the amount of mitochondria that guy would have in his arms and shoulders and forearms and upper back and lats? Incredible.
Oh, yeah, and we could go in a completely different direction and talk about how that was one of the reasons we see more obesity today than then. You know, people were just, you know, able to build more mitochondria because many jobs were much more, you know, blue collar, actual physical, you know, physical labor, physically oriented.
Yeah, you kind of want to get off optimum hybrid cardio. You get all four limbs dealing with resistance of some type. Len would talk about when. If you just use your legs to generate cardio intensity, that's very hard. If you use your legs and your arms, you can generate that same amount of intensity, but the work seems less because you're spreading the work amongst four limbs. Okay? That's a real important element of hybrid cardio. Yes, you can do third-way cardio just legs. Yes, you can do third-way cardio just arms, but ultimately the highest expression of that art is all four limbs dealing with resistance simultaneously.
I see. So let's touch on the science of what is actually happening. And I think it, you know, in order for the listeners to understand, we're going to talk about muscle fibers, and we could say that there are type 1 muscle fibers, type 2 muscle fibers, and now the hybrid muscle fiber, which I think you refer in your book as a type 3.
Yeah, that's my own. That's not scientific. You should probably just stay with the type 1 and the type 2, and then I think it would be fair to say
hybrid
that
muscle.
Using specific training protocols, you can create a hybrid that has the capacity to use both aerobic and anaerobic energy pathways.
Okay, so before we get there, set it up for everyone. Just quick summarizations of what a type 1 and a type 2 muscle fibers are, and then let's talk about which attributes.
You're killing me.
Hybrid.
If you have the book there, you could just read it. Read it. I mean, that I hate to. I don't want to go through the type 1 and the type 2, the scientific explanation of this. Of those fibers, because you got type 1, type 2, A, B, and C. You've got different graduations of this. Suffice to say that a muscle, generally speaking, can use an aerobic or an anaerobic energy pathway, and that optimally there's a third way in which you're able to train a muscle through sustained effort. You're able to transfigure that muscle to radically reconfigure the literal composition of the muscle. The way you do that is sustained effort, consistent effort over a protracted period of time. Okay, that enables that muscle to operate much longer at a much higher level of intensity. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, what I wanted to convey is that, you know, type 1 muscle fibers are primarily used for slow, you know, like the higher endurance activities that you talked about earlier, the steady state cardio. Our type 2s are guys that are doing the powerlifting, Olympic weightlifting, explosive bursts of energy and strength. And the type 3, as you're describing everyone, it's kind of a, You mentioned in the book, it's an intermediate fast twitch fiber. It's a cross between the type 1 and the type 2 that utilize both aerobic and anaerobic pathways. And so you know, in case the readers don't know the science behind it, you know, I wanted them to kind of know how, you know, what is exactly happening underneath all this, you know, rigorous, sustained, long-distance cardio. What is really happening to the muscle?
You asking a question?
No, I'm clarifying between the type 1, the type 2, and then the hybrid cardio muscle.
Mm-hmm.
Or the hybrid muscle.
Right. Well, I don't quite know where you're headed with that, but I think that you're dancing all around the bush here, because really what you want to find out is how do you make that happen? The training, how do you acquire that?
Sure. If you want to go ahead and go into that.
Well, I think I have. I think I've gone into it into some detail that every athlete out there, or every fitness-minded individual who's looking to shed some body weight, needs to have three key critical core elements. You've got to have a resistance training element. You've got to have a cardiovascular training element. You've got to have a nutritional element. Now, within the cardiovascular element, you have three choices. Anytime you engage in an aerobic session, you have three options. You can have a steady state session. You know what that is. We can have a burst or interval session, or you can have a third way sort of a hybrid muscle building session. If you choose the hybrid muscle building approach, what you will need to do is you will need to inject an element of muscular effort into whatever cardio mode you choose. And again, that could take many forms. Very popular, these kettlebells. Have you seen these clubbells, Eric?
Yes, I do know what you're talking about. But for those of us that may not,
it's a weighted bat. Scott Sonnen puts them out Scott's up in Bellingham, I believe. And there are various weighted bats, and you can take these things and you can use them as if you would, like an axe, or you could use them in cut different motor pathways with these heavy implements as you're moving them through space. The kettlebell's the same thing, the different snatches and the jerks and all that stuff. You do that, you take... If you heave kettlebells overhead in various movements and motions for 30 minutes, that's a great third way exercise session.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, anything, you can invent your own. You know, you could do clean and jerks for 50 reps, followed by 20 reps in the deadlift, followed by 30 reps. You know what I mean? You could invent your own weight training, extended weight training movements with high reps, focusing in on exercises that incorporate lots of muscles. There's a million different approaches to this. Again, I would suggest that if you've got a heavy, regular, absolute weight training session, don't do the implement cardio on that particular day. You know, to me, it's too much.
Have you found that alternating days works okay for most folks? You know,
I'm a very intuitive guy, and I every day I wake up and I said, do I feel like doing a steady state session, a burst session, or a third way session today? Okay, and again, my weight training. I'm 60 years old, and my weight training will shift and vary. Okay. I usually tend between 3 to 4 sessions a week. Sometimes it's as few as 2. Sometimes I'll go as many as 6. But it's all very intuitive. But again, I think that by having three different cardio types at your fingertips, I think it keeps cardio training very interesting. Most people get bored with steady state all the time. That gets old fast, just sitting there in that damn stationary bike, just pedaling. Like, come on, man,
absolutely.
Get outside, you know, do some sprints, put a backpack on, put a kid's backpack, fold a 25 or 35 pound dumbbell plate, put it in a kid's backpack, go out, find some hills, take a walk. That's third way leg cardio.
Well, one of the really important things I like about, you know, this stuff that you speak about in your book is that it really forces you to, and you touched on earlier, to be intuitive, to get a little bit more in touch with how you function, and then to use some creativity, you know, break out of the rut, the mold, as you said, and just, you know, throw some weight in a backpack or, you know, whatever the case may be. And just even keeping the mind fresh is just a great way to reinvigorate and reinvent your training to keep you going and, you know, perhaps achieving to the next level or your next goal or whatever the case may be.
Get outside for your cardio, people. If you can, given a choice, get outside, go to the parks. No one's in the parks. You know, they're empty. Go to the public parks. Every municipality has a public park. Go to it. Use it. Walk it. Hike it. Sprint it. You know, use the exercise equipment. It's fun. It makes it interesting. Get out of those stuffy gyms. Quit sitting next to some guy who had 15 beers last night and you're breathing in his carbon monoxide exhalations. Get outside. Move around.
I agree totally.
And please, well, you know, if you do jog, people, please don't jog alongside the road. I hate that. I live in a beautiful community. We have this coterie of joggers who insist upon jogging down the main public highway because they want everyone to see them. Look at me. I'm doing fitness. Meanwhile, one block off in either direction is the most beautiful backcountry lanes. But no, they can't be on those. They have to be where they're seen. All right. Get off the main roads, people. Get in the back roads. Get outside. Variety, variety, variety. That keeps fitness interesting. If it's fun, you'll do it. If you dread it, it's just a matter of time before you're quitting.
Well, Marty, where can folks go if they are, you know, interested in finding out a bit more about your book, The Purposeful Primitive, a bit more about some of the articles and things that you've written?
Right.
You know, where can folks go?
I post a bi-weekly column on dragondoor.com. We spotlight all the before and after type people that I work with. You know, we've got that's sort of the central clearinghouse. You can get my episodic encyclopedia, The Purposeful Primitive. It's cheap. It's really it's actually five books in one. It's got a section on resistance training, section on cardio, section on nutrition, section on brain train, very important, and a lot of antidotes and experiences, tips. Dorian Yates called it the best book on health and fitness that he's ever seen. Dorian's seen a few. So
yes, he has.
That's it. Eric, I appreciate you having me on. People, if you want to go to dragondoor.com, look me up, and like I said, it's a big, wide world out there.
Well, I appreciate you discussing with our listeners today your philosophies in hybrid cardio, as well as the hybrid muscle fiber. And thanks for taking the time.
The hybrid lifestyle, brother. The hybrid lifestyle. Talk to you later.